Next man up here on 102.5 The Gabe, Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Nick Frazier's girlfriend, Ella Langley, bringing us back here.
It's just it's America's sweetheart
on
for
this
country music.
Friday.
He sees God when he hears Ella Langley.
Yes,
it's
he does.
The one song, it's Love and Life. That song, you could just close
maybe
your eyes.
Maybe that'll come up later.
If I hear the Choosing Texas song one more time,
no,
I'm going to throw
we're
something.
We're done with that. That's overplayed.
We're done.
Let's go on. Let's continue.
Tonight, Vanderbilt baseball hosts Tennessee at Hawkins Field. First pitch is at 7 p.m. Catch all the action on 102.5 The Game. Coverage is presented by Gary Force Acura. But we're not here to talk about Vanderbilt baseball. Let's talk a little bit of Vanderbilt women's basketball as I welcome in the actual host of this show, someone probably way better at this job than I am, Mr. Jake Lyman, live from Fort Worth, Texas, rejoins his own program. How are we doing, Jake?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you guys holding down the fort today so we can hopefully go punch a ticket to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I want to start right there. Vanderbilt in action today over on 94.9 The Fan, so you can listen to us and Jake Lyman alongside each other. They are in action against Notre Dame. Vanderbilt 6.5-point favorites. I want to start right there, Jake. What is the key to winning here if you're Vanderbilt and advancing to the Elite Eight?
I think number one, you need to not let Hannah Hidalgo beat you. She is one of the best players in the country.
Oh, yeah.
She's third in scoring nationally. She has 5.6 steals per game. She's the ACC Player of the Year, ACC Defensive Player of the Year. She is that good. And if she goes off and scores 35 points and wrecks Vanderbilt's game plan on the offensive side, then Notre Dame is surely talented enough to win this game. But I do think Vanderbilt, outside of the stars, is more talented. I think we're going to see a great matchup with Michaela Blakes and Hannah Hidalgo, but Vanderbilt's got Aubrey Galvin. Vandy has Justine Passat, who hit 4 threes back on Monday. Sasha Washington had a huge game in the opener against High Point. So I think the depth for Vanderbilt is better, but Hannah Hidalgo is one of those players that if you don't show up ready to go, she can end up winning the game single-handedly for Notre Dame.
How much does confidence play a factor into this for both teams? I mean, Vanderbilt's obviously the higher-seeded team. They've taken care of business at home as the tournament has gone on. Notre Dame didn't have that advantage to play at home, but they've taken care of the teams that they've mowed through to get to this point. Momentum and confidence, I think, are the two key themes here. How much do those play a factor into this matchup?
Yeah, I think that's it's a good point because for Vanderbilt, yes, you're the higher seed, you're the favorite, and I think the Commodores really gained a lot of confidence this past week at Memorial Gym. Got off to great starts in both games, which has been an issue at times this season, so I think Vandy has a lot of confidence coming into this, but Notre Dame is also a team that's been here before. Their coach, their star players, this team has lost in the Sweet 16 in 4 straight seasons, so I'm sure that this is not an unfamiliar position for them to be in, and also there's probably a little bit of a chip on their shoulder of wanting to finally break through. Vanderbilt has to come in and play confident, even though this is the first time being here for everybody on the team except for Jack Olengamon and Tonda.
Jake Lyman's on his own show, Next Man Up. Jake, a little odd to that, but hey, Jake, looking at Notre Dame, obviously one name that is very familiar to Vanderbilt fans and also this team is Ayanna Moore. Just looking into that, where do you see her playing a factor into all this, and how can Shea Ralph stop her offensive prowess?
Yeah, Ayanna Moore is a huge reason for Vanderbilt's growth over the past 5 years as a program. I mean, she was with Vanderbilt during Shea Ralph's first year, got hurt the second year, but was a large reason why Vanderbilt was able to return to the NCAA tournament the last couple of seasons. So I'm sure it's strange for the players, for the coaches, to look over and see her on the other side in a big moment like this. But I think that Vanderbilt should feel good about that matchup. Ayanna Moore is one of those players who can heat up in a hurry, but she also will have some cold stretches. And I do think that the duo of Galvin and Blakes should be able to take advantage of Ayanna Moore. Hannah Hidalgo can only guard one player. So I think that should help Vanderbilt, the familiarity with Ayanna Moore in today's game. And I'm sure, again, it's going to be weird. Almost everybody on this team played with her last season. So I'm sure that's going to be a little bit strange to see her wearing the Fighting Irish uniform today.
And then not on the court, but on the bench, assistant coach Kevin DeMille, what has he brought to this team and just the impact that has, you know, brought the success for the overall season?
Yeah, Kevin DeMille has been an integral part of this team, whether that's recruiting or the in-court, on-court practice stuff that he's able to do. Kevin DeMille has been an awesome part of this program and well-deserved the award that he got yesterday from the WBCA. And this staff, you can see it. They know what they're doing, and I think it's telling that they've stuck together for all 5 years. Shea Ralph with her husband, Tom Garrick, and then Ashley Early and Kevin DeMille, they've been the assistants from the word go, and you've seen their vision really come to fruition over the past few years.
Jake, Nick and I were just talking about this before you got on the air. We were talking about the Sweet 16 yesterday, and I told Nick that I think moving forward, the Cinderella model is going to look more like an Iowa than it will a St. Peter's, that lower-seeded Power 4 team that's capable of knocking off the big boys and, you know, maybe not considered a true Cinderella, but an underdog that reaches this far in the tournament. Is that something that you see continuing as we move forward in years to come in this tournament? Just kind of like an Iowa model or kind of like NC State we saw a couple years ago, like one of those lower-seeded, lower-end Power 4 teams able to compete with the big boys and make a deep run?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point because we've seen it this year, whether it's Iowa, I mean, Texas lost at the buzzer yesterday. Those were the lower seeded teams, but they're Power 5 teams. They've got money just like everybody else. So I think you're probably right that the roster difference in talent is widening between the Power 4 and the mid-major. But I do think that with the revenue sharing and with NIL, some of these teams that maybe struggle in the regular season still have a lot of talent. Those guys are getting paid too. And, you know, even if you sneak into the tournament as a 9, 10, 11 seed, you can make a run if you get hot at the right time.
Yeah, that was kind of my rebuttal to that argument, Jake, was that these teams like the Florida Gulf Coast, the St. Peter's, if they don't have a football program, that's the one thing that they go towards is their basketball programs, if it's men's or women's. So more of that allotted money that goes towards their athletic department will be funded for the basketball program. So that's why I think the true Cinderella story is not dead. It just is getting refined a little bit.
That's fair, and I'm not saying that there won't ever be any other mid-major Cinderellas that make runs, but I do think that the advantage that those Cinderellas had in the past is that a lot of their players would stay for 3 or 4 years, and you'd have 21 and 22-year-olds playing against Kentucky's 18-year-olds. Sorry, Connor. But I think now that those players that are having good freshman and sophomore years at a Florida Gulf Coast, they're getting poached by the bigger fish. And if that continues, you're not going to see as many of those Cinderellas.
Reeling it back in, talking about big fish, Michaela Blakes, as always, comes up and shows up for the big occasions. What do you think you might expect out of her today when it comes to a big game against Notre Dame?
I'm expecting a lot from Michaela Blakes. I mean, she has been, as you said, she steps up in the biggest moments. In the SEC this year, averaged over 30 points per game. I thought maybe her best game of the season was in the Texas win, where Vanderbilt was able to cruise to a 16-point victory over the eventual SEC champions. So I think Michaela knows how big the moment is, and I think she's going to show up. On Monday, she did a really great job of, yeah, she scored. She got her 25 points, 28 points, whatever it ended up being. But she still was able to assist the team in other ways, whether that was 9 assists, 10 rebounds, 4 steals. Like, she does more than just score, and I think she's going to have to do that today to help this team.
Jake, I can't let you go without talking about your Detroit Tigers. Kevin McGonigal yesterday with an absolutely historic MLB debut. What was going through the mind of young Jake Lyman watching the Tigers play yesterday?
Oh, he's the future. I mean, I am so excited for Kevin McGonigal, and I made sure I found time to watch his debut yesterday, and when he stepped up with the bases loaded, first pitch, drilled it down the right field line, I was like, all right, you know, get his bust ready in Cooperstown.
Have you made your donation to Pizza Boy yet?
Oh, I did. Pizza Boy got my money, so
oh, good.
I have done my part to pay for the Framber Valdez contract.
You're a good fan. I'm proud of you. Way to follow through on your word.
I said I was going to do it if he spent big money, and he did. So I went and did a Little Caesars feast.
There you go.
So, Jake, minus a World Series championship in Detroit, what is your biggest overreaction prediction for this Detroit Tigers team this season?
Let's see. Here you go. Here's one. Dylan Dingler will be a top three catcher in baseball by the end of the season.
Ooh.
I like that.
I do like that. Actually.
He hit a homer last night. He's one of the best defensive catchers in baseball. So I'm riding Dylan Dingler. He's going to be an all-star.
Now, okay. Let's rephrase that a little bit. This is a family show. But anyways, Jake Liven, the guest on his own program, history in the making right here. And it still feels weird to say that. Jake, appreciate it. Have a good call today. And let's go doors. Let's see him get to an Elite Eight.
Yes, thank you, guys. Appreciate you filling in again, and I will talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Have a good call, bud.
The guest, a little bit of a weekend or a Forest Company reunion right there. How about that?
A little tear in my eye.
I know. You only get these moments every once in a while, so it's so hard to say goodbye.
It's not like this anywhere else.
No, it's not. No one told us life was going to be this way.
Yeah.
You're supposed to clap like friends, so...
There you go.
Anyways, 615-737.
Doesn't sound great for radio.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. I want to continue this conversation on the Cinderella thing coming up next, because we've gotten a lot of interesting texts on that, and we'll open up the phone lines to that as well. 615-737-1025 if you want to call or text us with your thoughts on that. We'll continue it coming up next. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you on Next Man Up on 102.5.